Go behind the wheel and under the hood on everything automotive with high-speed stuff from HowStuffWorks.com.
Hello, Scott Benjamin, auto editor, HowStuffWorks.com. How you doing?
I'm all right. That was a pretty smooth intro, Ben.
Thanks, man. I've been working on my smoothness. You know, I've been reading up on some things about how to become more eloquent, how to sound more approachable, more intelligent. I guess we should tell our listeners here, boy, do we have a hard time with titles on this show.
Yes, we do.
Yeah,
we
God are. Bless Jerry.
Yeah. Yeah, we always have a hard time figuring out exactly what to call our podcast, but this one's pretty simple because we're just going to talk about slot cars today.
Yes.
Did I pull the rug right out from underneath you there?
You didn't pull the rug, man. Yeah. You rolled the red carpet out. This is the kind of mind reading that makes us podcast partners.
Well, you look excited about this one. Is that right?
I am, man. I'm probably about 30% coffee and 70% excited.
So. That's not bad, I guess.
No, it's actually, yeah. We just ticked up to 73% excited. But I think we'll find this more and more interesting as we go. But you know what? Let's not take it too fast, Scott. Let's start off with a regular, logical way, as you tried to start off, and then we talked about carpet. I'm sorry.
Well, I tell you, it's tough because we're both interested in this. We both had slot cars when we were young. I'm pretty sure that they're still rattling around in my mom's basement somewhere.
Oh yeah,
the slot car set. I'm sure it doesn't work, of course, but it's there, and. I don't know. I just have really good memories of, you know, Christmas morning with my slot car set, you know, brand new slot car set.
Oh, yeah. That's pretty awesome. Yeah,
what about you? Same idea?
I also got one for Christmas. But, you know, maybe we'll get into those cards.
Yeah.
Because for our listeners here who don't know what we're talking about, you know, we talked about the title, What Are Slot Cars? And we picked that because that's the first question.
Yeah, sure we are. Here, 3 minutes into it, and we're telling them what they are. Okay. So slot cars, basically what slot cars are, we'll just keep it real simple. Scale model cars that are on a track that has two separate courses, I guess. I don't know if that's the right way to say it. It's a track beside a track, really.
Yeah.
And the cars are guided via a slot that's carved into the middle of the track. Alongside that slot, on either side, is a metal rail, and the metal rail carries electricity that powers the vehicles. And that's a pretty simple explanation. Most people have seen the slot cars, and if you haven't, you know, take a quick look online and find out exactly what they are. But the slot is what really keeps the car on the track. That's what keeps everything moving in the right direction, I guess, so it doesn't just spin out of control or fly off into the wall. Or they sometimes do that anyways if you go a little too fast around the corners, but that's part of the skill. That's part of the fun of the slot cars.
And for me, the fun was going off the track.
Yeah, so. Well, you'd set up your own jumps and tight turns and things like that.
Yes, yeah. I did. And I was not very practical when I was doing it. but I guess, you know, when you think about it, what's really interesting about these cars is that technically for quite a few young people, this was the first car they ever owned, and it was electric. The only catch being they couldn't ride in it.
Yeah, they couldn't ride in it. They're not nearly large enough to actually sit in or ride in. We're talking about for the most part matchbox size cars. Most people know what matchbox cars are like. We're talking about that size, but there are other sizes as well, right?
I mean, there are plenty of sizes, but there are three main divisions of sizes. There's a size that's the 1 to 24, which would be a 24th size representation. There's a 1 to 32, and there's what they call the HO scale. And all of these are, now it may sound like it's just a matter of size, but to the enthusiast and the fans and the racers, national and international racers of these vehicles, they're very different. And
They're terribly. I can imagine that the 1/24th are pretty big.
Yeah.
One. What do you say? The HO 32nd scale.
32nd, and then HO scale. HO scale is a little bit different, but the one of the main differences. That I guess could be a distinguishing trait other than size is the amount of voltage these things take. They're on DC power, so the 1/24 size takes, when you're racing it, it takes 12 volts. The 1 to 32nd takes 12 to 16 volts, so it does go higher. And the ones that are HO scale, depending on what country they're in, it's around somewhere between 18 volts and 19 volts.
Hmm.
So you can't just walk up to the HO guys when they're racing and pop your 1/32nd on there and think you can hang out with them.
you can't mix with the other crowd is what you're saying, right?
You know what?
You just can't do it.
Maybe you can, but you have to bring a car specifically for their competition. And these guys are pretty serious about it, Scott. So for our listeners, I think if you are okay with it, I think we should go into a little bit of basic education about these. What are the elements, the components?
You know, it's funny that you say that they're really into it, and there's a good reason for that, is because they're a lot like a real car, and they're more so than I ever knew when I was a kid playing with these things. Because, you know, I had the set where, you know, I'd play with it, I'd put it away, it'd be done, and I'd take it out to play with it, put it away, and it'd be done.
Sure.
Not the case really with a lot of these guys. Go down to the point of tuning fine-tuning the chassis, oiling the motors and the shafts and truing the wheels, and you know we'll get into all this in a moment, but it's very much like preparing a car for a full-size car for a race. You know, like let's say if you were doing autocross or something like that, it's very much like that on a much smaller scale, of course, but they're just as focused, just as intent on the details as anyone would be with a full-size vehicle.
Wow. Okay. I did not know that.
They're extremely detailed. A lot of them are. Not all of them, but a lot of them are really detailed. In fact, you know, those are some real high dollar cars that have tiny figurines with behind the wheel that actually have features that you can see, gauges that you can read numbers on. Just extremely detailed vehicles can cost a lot of money. They're very expensive, so of course you're going to maintain them. As if it were something that's of value to you. You know, it's not the $10 throwaway type car. You know, not that you'd want to do that anyways, but it's just totally different scale, really.
So
maybe that's a bad word to use, scale. When we're talking about this.
Maybe we were just a different level, obviously.
Yeah,
maybe
sure.
We just weren't. You know, we shouldn't beat ourselves up. We were kids. You
that's
know?
Right. Yeah, and I'm sure that there are still kids out there that are doing what we did. You know, where they, break part of the track apart and then go as fast as they can and just launch it into, the cat or the dog or whatever's nearby.
You know,
not that that's a good idea.
But. I loved that dog, but I did do that once.
You did. Yeah,
I did.
Yeah.
I will not give the dog's name to protect his or her identity.
And probably just wandered by. It wasn't like you set it up like for that anyway. You know, you didn't put a treat bowl or anything near there, right?
Oh, no. This, this was back in the days of yore when I was too young to get a grown-up driver's license. But, the dog was just interested.
Well, that's good. Most of mine ended up hitting the wall or something like that. Something didn't really matter. But I'm sure it was rough on the cars. And, you know, I guess we should get into, how to properly care for a car, really. We can talk about that in a moment. We'll talk about maintenance, but we should probably talk about the components that make up a slot car, because there's a lot more to these things than meets the eye initially. It's not like a Matchbox car. You know, they're that size and that roughly about that size anyways,
right,
for most cases. But for the most part, Matchbox car is just, you know, a shell and a couple of wheels and an axle. You know, there's a little bit more to it than that. But
A Matchbox car is a collectible representation of a vehicle, whereas I would argue a slot car is actually a vehicle. It's a moving vehicle. It cannot convey people at its current size, but it works.
Oh yeah, it does.
So,
it works. It really does work. And there's a lot of little tiny elements within this car that have to work together in order to make the car move forward. And let's just get into it.
Do we have a list?
Of course I've got a
now
list.
Now, why do you... You know I love these lists.
I know, but I've always got it. I feel kind of bad about it. But, let's go right down the list.
Yeah.
Shell, body of the car.
Okay.
Right? So these are coming right from the article. So, if you'd like to go to HowStuffWorks.com and look at the article, How Slot Car Racing Works, please do. You can follow along. All right, so shell, which is basically the body of the car, usually it's plastic, and sometimes there'll be a molded interior that has a driver character within there as well. You know, it just depends on the level of detail you got. Could be convertible even, so you may be able to see a lot of that detail, which would be kind of cool.
That is cool.
There's a chassis, which everything is attached to the chassis. So, chassis is really, that's critical component.
It's the linchpin kind of.
Yeah, and you know what? Actually, every component in this is critical because there's not a lot to waste here. You know, it's everything has a purpose because otherwise it just wouldn't be on the vehicle. You know, it's just too small of a space.
That makes sense. Yeah,
no waste. So the chassis, we just said that. Electric motor. Now, an electric motor. So this is what drives the vehicle forward. What powers the wheels. Again, critical. They're rated usually by RPM or by speed. And again, you mentioned that, you know, the more voltage the vehicle receives, the more power it produces. So
sure.
There you go. You could buy different ratings of motors. Now, this is something that's a little different from the cars that you and I probably had. Newer cars have copper or steel braids underneath. And these are kind of like, these are braided metal materials. They're mesh material almost. And it hangs below the car. And you can kind of spread these out and clean them and keep them nice and shiny if you like. But they're copper or steel, and they are meant to maintain contact with the electric part of the track, the two rails that run on either side of the groove, that you know, the slot that makes up the slot car.
Oh, okay.
So it keeps the electric current flowing from the track into the car.
Huh.
And the idea, now these are new because when you and I had these cars, or at least when I had the cars, it was a solid metal piece, and it had a spring underneath that kept a lot of tension on it, and it had to maintain contact with that track all the time, otherwise the car would die.
That's the kind I had.
Yeah, and those are terrible because you know you go off the course. Let's say your car flew off, and you lose that tiny little spring, and you would either have to disassemble the car and put that spring back in, which, you know, good luck having an 8-year-old do that.
You're right.
Or you know, your car was simply just out of commission for a while, and you had to get a new car or a new part, or you know, take it to somebody to have it repaired. So I think this braid thing is a good idea.
Yeah, it does really sound like
they
that.
Just kind of hang down and contact the track, and it's a lot cleaner way of doing this. Next on the list here is a guide or a guide flag, which really the guide is the pin that sits in the groove.
Yeah,
so it keeps the car on track. And there's something called a guide flag now, which I looked into this a little bit, and it's shaped a little different. It's almost like a fin, like an inverted fin.
Weird.
That rides in the because I'm used to kind of a just a straight pin that goes down into the track, you know, and it really didn't have any distinctive shape. It was just a cylindrical piece that stuck down into the the groove. The guide flag is, like I said, like an inverted shark fin or something like that, and it pivots with the car even, and again helps keep the braids in place. It's all part of the braiding and that little component.
These things have gone a long way.
Yeah.
You know, when we started, I was thinking, shell, saw that coming. Chassis, yep, there we go.
Yeah.
And then, you know, braid, when's that?
Yeah, yeah. Well, it'll get even a little bit crazier here when we get to the end. I'll tell you one that'll shock you, but this won't shock you. There's gears or gear sets. We've always had those, of course.
Yeah.
Those are interchangeable. You can buy different gear sets for performance. You can buy them for outright speed, you know, top end speed, or you can buy them for acceleration, because some people, I guess that's important, acceleration. Mine always seemed to accelerate quick enough anyways, but I wasn't a pro.
Yeah, I don't think, you know, I don't think I was a pro either. I was just pretty amazed by the fact that mine would go.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they're pretty.
Until I lost the aforementioned spring.
Yeah, that's right. They're pretty amazing when you're a kid. You know, you can put the track together and make that thing go. That's something fascinating about it. Magic. Anyways, there's also magnets or balance weight or ballast weight. The magnets are used for, I guess, for downforce in the car, if you want to put it a certain way.
Sure.
You know, they attract to the track, and they help the vehicle maintain the lane that they're in. They allow it to corner a little harder, a little faster than normally. So there's slightly less skill involved, and, you know, I understand there's a lot of skill in it anyways, but you know, you have to accelerate at the right time, let off at the right time.
Mm-hmm.
If you've got magnets in the car, it's a little bit easier than if you don't have magnets in the car, and you'll find that a lot of the enthusiasts, I should say, have removed the magnets from the car, and they instead go with ballast weights, because the weighting of the car is important, because that's what keeps the wheels in contact with the track, because the wheels truly are driving the car.
Mm-hmm.
They're soft rubber wheels. The motors spinning the gear sets, which spin the axle, which spin the wheels, and they do have to have a certain amount of weight to them. Otherwise, they just simply won't accelerate. They won't corner. They won't handle. So you can fine-tune these things a lot like you can a car, in, you know, how much weight and where you place the weight. and the magnets normally do a good job of that, but if you're removing them, you have to replace them with something, and that's called ballast weight.
Wow.
I know.
Man, these guys sorry to any female slot car enthusiast racers out there, these people really take thinking about their vehicles a lot more than we are.
Oh, sure, and I can't imagine what it would be like to drive one without magnets in it, because I guess mine up to this point that I've ever driven,
sure,
I've always had magnets, because, and it was still hard to keep it on the track at certain times, because you get going pretty fast, and if you didn't let off at the right, you know, let off the gas at the right point,
boom,
yeah,
it was gone.
Fly off into the dog, like we said before.
I didn't, it's not like I hit the dog in the face.
Sorry.
It's not like it was on
yeah,
purpose.
Yeah, okay, well, I'll bring it up one more time, and that's it.
Oh, man. You know PETA's going to come
just,
get me.
Just wait for it.
All right.
All right, the last bit that I want to mention here is microchip.
A
microchip. Yeah, a lot of cars have microchips in them now, and we'll get into that in a moment, too, but there are digital controllers. Cars that are matched with those controllers use a microchip so that they can have multiple vehicles. You know, I'll just tell you right now.
Tell me right now.
I'm halfway there anyway. So
okay.
You can, with cars with microchips, you can have multiple cars in the same lane of traffic, which you normally couldn't have in,
yeah,
in the tracks of old.
Uh-huh.
If you were to place, let's say you had an older set,
yeah,
and you placed a car on the track and you ran it about halfway around, you stopped the car. You put another car on the same exact track that you're in, the same lane that you're in, and then you push the button again, both cars are going to go at the same time. And I did that many times.
Yeah, I thought that was cool.
Yeah, that was pretty fun because you could race two cars at once, one controller, and it would work. With cars with a microchip, you could do that and have a friend who could race against you in the same lane.
Hmm.
Yeah.
But they can't really pass you. They can only hit you.
Some tracks allow you to change lanes, which is kind of nuts in slot car racing. I've been trying to figure this one out for a while, but if it's truly slot car racing, it has a slot and it's somehow attached to that lane.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know how it would change lanes.
I guess maybe the way that train tracks change.
Now, I don't know. Yeah, there's certain places where there are switchovers. You know.
Yeah, I've seen that.
That's not what I'm talking about. Some cars could switch lanes. Now, there was a track.
Just at will?
You know what? I just remember the name of it. TCR Racing. I had a track that was by TCR Racing. I don't know who made it.
Okay.
It was, that just stood for Total Control Racing, and it had a small shifter on the controller, and you could switch it from left to right, and that would change lanes, now that I recall. But it did not have a, that particular track didn't have a groove. It didn't have a slot, so it wasn't a true slot car race.
Weird.
A racetrack.
It wasn't a true slot car track.
Yeah, so
that's weird.
I'm wondering if this is the same thing. I just don't know. I'm not familiar enough with the weight. Because I'd almost believe that they would be able to pull up the guide and change lanes and then put the guide back down with as advanced as they seem anyways.
Yeah, with a microchip in it.
I don't know. Crazy, crazy microchip. Okay, so we've talked about tracks, digital tracks or analog tracks, which are just, you know, the normal ones. But they do get pretty elaborate. Some of these tracks are, you know, you've probably seen the crazy train setups that are, you know, they have mountain scenes and people and crossings,
like,
and cars and everything else.
The Lionel trains.
Yeah, that's right.
Okay.
Or, you know, whatever. Lionel is probably a big one.
Yeah.
They do get that elaborate for slot cars, of course, and you can find videos of these things online, which are really cool because sometimes they have point of view camera shots or from another vehicle racing alongside that car, which is really cool.
Oh, man, that's interesting.
It's really cool to see, because you'll see other traffic as well. You'll see mm-hmm. other cars passing this car. You know, they're side by side. One's got a camera in it. It's, you know, or the car that you're watching has a camera in it as well.
Mm-hmm.
And it, you know, as it speeds through the town, it's really, really cool to watch.
That is pretty interesting.
Yeah, look into it. Slot car racing videos or something like that. I mean, point of view shots are really cool.
Man, so the same way that they have the scale representations of towns and cities and, mm-hmm. As you said, mountains and forests?
Yeah, anything. I mean, it could be just a real-world scene or real-world set that these things are driving through. And they're very elaborate, and they're very large. And I could see where it would be a lot of fun to join a club that has something like this, and you could have access to that.
If you want to, we can talk about the largest slot car set.
I would love to talk about
you that.
Okay, yeah, well, what is it? Because I had some small ones at home, and I was always just dying to get more track pieces to make
and
that thing.
Add more and
yeah,
more.
I wanted more and more, but I just couldn't do it.
Well, my friend, there have been people who have taken this to the utmost extreme. But our conversation about this is going to be brief, and then we'll go on to some more definitive stuff, because let me tell you, it's contentious. There's a guy named Don Chaco, and I apologize if I'm mispronouncing your name, sir, who has built what he claims to be the world's largest slot car set. However, there is also one that purports to be the largest permanent slot car set in our very own Mall of Georgia. So
no
right up the street.
Kidding.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh man, you know where I'm going to be this weekend. That is awesome. I had no idea it was even there. You mentioned it earlier, and I think I just about fell out of my chair. I had no idea. I've been to that mall even, and had no idea that it was in that place at all. If it had been there, you know, if I had known about it, I would have been there for sure.
Well, you know what we can do? We can hunt it down and check it out and figure out where to go. There's one more. There's a group of guys in the United Kingdom who have also built one of the largest, which they also say is one of the world's largest slot car sets. And they did with a budget of $10,000.
Oh, my gosh. $10,000.
I believe it's dollars. I think it's dollars, not pounds. I'm not sure.
Could be pounds, yeah.
I mean, if it's pounds, then it's like $25,000.
Yeah,
so
right.
This was a big track, and you can check out videos of the one in the UK. But I was very interested by the fact that there's not, as far as I can tell, a universally agreed upon largest set. You know, because again, the same thing that bedeviled you in childhood is still defeating people now. It's like it's like the search for the world's largest number. Mm-hmm. You just add one again. Mm-hmm. So everybody who has a set right now is only a certain number of track pieces away from the biggest set.
Oh, sure. And they just keep adding and adding and adding, which I'm all for, by the way.
You're all for
it? Yeah, sure. I'd love to know, you know, how long it takes to get around, you know, a car around the world's largest track.
Or how many track pieces does it take to build a car track that goes around the world?
Oh, that'd be great, yeah. I've also heard of enthusiasts building racing tracks that match their favorite racing circuit exactly, turn for turn.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Which is another big thing that, you know, you can race the Nürburgring. Or you could race, if you're a NASCAR fan, you could race Daytona because, you know, now we're not saying it's 2.5 miles. We're saying that, you know, it would be, you know, it would be an accurate representation of that race course.
And that, you know, for our listeners, of course, that's something obviously the two of us have not done.
No.
We were, I think, enthralled by the circle.
And yeah, I may have had a figure eight. That was probably about a little bit more elaborate, I think, but not much more.
So with people who are spending the time to make these elaborate setups and these reproductions, they're also probably spending a lot of time making sure that their work doesn't go to waste, you know, with maintaining these things. Because what strikes me is the way we're describing this, it sounds like these people are treating these on the level of real cars, as you said before. Well, I shouldn't say real cars. On the level of combustion engines, like the ones we use to get to work.
So. Oh, sure, yeah, they're very meticulous about maintenance with their slot cars, even, and rightfully so. I mean, if you have a lot of money invested in it, or you know, if it's just something you appreciate, why would you let your car, you know, wither away, or you know, why would you let it run in poor condition? You'd want to properly maintain it. You'd want to protect it so that you could run it again next weekend, and hopefully, you know, you could improve it. Mm-hmm. To make it better for next weekend. So if nothing else, they're trying to improve their cars.
What was that? Can you tell us a little bit about that penny trick you were telling me about?
Yeah, if you had an older track, and I don't know if this is true anymore at all, but you used to be able to clean the tracks with a penny. You could take a penny and kind of drag it along, you know, underneath your finger along the track, and I'm making a scrubbing motion with my finger, like I have a penny underneath it. And yeah, it was just a simple, effective way to keep the track clean, and I guess it's kind of the same thing as keeping the braids clean underneath the car, or the the metal pieces that contact the track. And you know, you reminded me this.
What's that?
Christmas morning one time, my grandparents were visiting, and I had my track set up, and it was powered up, and you know, we were playing with it. They had a Dachshund and a wiener dog. Uh-huh. And which I have now, by the way, not the same one, different wiener dog. The dog kind of nosed over, is curious about the track, and you know, dogs have wet noses.
Mm-hmm.
Sniffed the track and made contact between both rails and got pretty good shock. Yeah, zapped it. You know, it pulled its head back and didn't get near the track for the rest of the day. I'll tell you that.
Was he okay?
Yeah, she was okay. Cricket. Yeah, she was all right.
Cricket.
Cricket. Yeah.
That was the dog's name?
That was the dog's name, Cricket, yeah.
I get it. That's cool, but that's
yeah.
You know, biologically, it's incorrect.
No. Well, you know,
cousin has a dog named Tiger, and it bugs me.
I had a friend named Cricket.
I thought you were going to say
you
had a friend
named
Tiger.
No, when I was six, I had a little girlfriend named Cricket.
Imaginary or real?
Real.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, very real.
Are we cool that I checked? Is that... I don't want to,
I'd rather not talk about my imaginary friends.
Okay. All right. Well, Cricket.
Let's get back into maintenance.
Sorry, let's get back into slot cars.
Yeah, maintenance. Let's talk about maintenance. We'll get off this awkward topic. Okay, so basically here's what it is. For maintenance, cleanliness is the key here. Just keep the car clean, keep the track clean, keep the parts of the car clean, keep everything well lubricated. Mm-hmm. The braids, you know, you can kind of clean those, spread them out for better contact. We talked about that.
Yeah.
You can take the body off of these cars easily, so why not do that? You know, get rid of all the dust and grime that kind of accumulates during a race.
Sure.
Just, you know, naturally kind of accumulates debris from the track, et cetera.
Mm-hmm.
The rims and tires, you can sand the tires, you know, these soft compound tires, you can sand them to true the wheels, which means to make them perfectly round.
Wow.
It's kind of a skill involved in that, so you'd have to look up how to do it. It's for improved grip. And you can clean them with lighter fluid. So they can be, you know, squeaky clean, I guess. But lighter fluid, I guess, is a good material to use to, you know, probably with a cotton swab or something like that.
And as we said before, the tires really are driving the car.
Yeah, they really are. So they're very important. Tires are really important, like tires are on cars on the road. And, you know, we mentioned lubrication. You'd want to lubricate the real lightly, but do it regularly. Mm-hmm. You'd want to lubricate the motor and the motor shaft, the gears and the axle bearings. Anything that moves, basically, any metal part, metal on metal or metal on plastic, anything, whether it be friction. You want to keep it lubricated. You can also make chassis adjustments we talked about with weight and magnets and whatever you want to use, you know, however you want to do that. Mm-hmm. And another key is that you want to warm up the motor, I guess, for a lot of racers will like to prep the motor for a big race. And, you know, that's something that I had never done.
How did they do that?
Well, they, you know, have a separate section of track that they use for warm-ups, or maybe they slowly increase the speed of the car just to it ramped up to racing prep speed, or, you know, just to get the motor ready to go.
Okay.
So it's important. And one other thing, and last point that I'll make here, is that they also mentioned that you can use oil to soften the compound on the tires. You can soak the wheels in oil, a certain type of oil. Don't just use any kind of oil. But
I was going to say, like, canola?
No. And you know what? That brings up another quick thing, is that older racers, now, you and I, we had, you know, just basic tracks. We weren't soaking our wheels in oil, probably.
No.
Okay.
No, at least not on purpose.
Well, there's a distinctive smell that goes along with slot car racing.
Yeah.
And kind of a little bit of argument what that smell is, because it's a little different for everybody. It smells kind of like a burning smell. Something's
like
burning,
a
hot,
crackly, burning smell.
Yeah, and it just seems to go along with slot car racing. If you've ever been around a slot car track, you'll know exactly what I'm talking about.
Mm-hmm.
I personally think it's the power source that's heating up.
I figured that too.
And also the heat of the cars on the track, because they do get warm. The tires get warm, the motors get warm, and there's oil within the motors. I think it's kind of a warm oil smell. Now, older racers from the 1960s, that's kind of when it was the most popular era of it, I guess. That's when it was big, a trend.
I guess you're right. Yeah.
Racers from that era might think of a wintergreen oil scent.
Really? Was that the oil?
That's what they soaked the tires in. So, you know, as the tires got warmer, it would give off the smell of wintergreen. So a lot of, you know, the older slot car racers may remember a wintergreen scent when they're racing their slot cars.
So we would walk in and sniff around and think, my God, is somebody cooking gum or something?
Yeah, that's what it would smell like, I guess.
Wow.
Yeah.
Huh.
Yeah.
That's weird. You know what, though? I bet you there are some people who still do that, because this is, for a lot of people, this may seem like a new world as far as racing goes, mm-hmm. but it is also really a form of racing, and a lot of people are into it, Scott. Like how we talked about earlier, those three main divisions on size, mm-hmm. well, each of those divisions has one or more racing associations. Oh. I've got a really short list here.
So it's all good.
You want to run through?
I'd love to, yeah, because usually I'm the one reading the list. I'll just sit back and relax.
Yeah, I figured. You know, every once in a while, I thought you might want to take a little off
I'll
time.
Take a breath.
Yeah, take five here. So for the 124th, there's that size. There's the United Slot Racers Association, or the USRA, and they're the big kahunas in the U.S. for slot racing of this size. Mm-hmm. And earlier, remember how we mentioned they use 12 volts on those size vehicles. It's funny because they only use 12 volts when they're racing. When they're qualifying, they use 14 volts. I know, so there's got to be some expertise in there.
No kidding.
That's don't pretty, know why. Maybe it's just a trick for the newbies.
That's very specific. I wonder why it's like that.
I bet there's, you know what, with a lot of things like that, there's got to be something that happened that made that necessary. But it goes beyond that with the 124th, because there's also the International Slot Racing Association, which every year chooses a different country for the world championship, I guess. And then if we go to 132nd size, there's the True Scale Racing Federation. I thought that name was interesting. Mm-hmm. True Scale.
Oh,
huh?
They're saying they're the one.
I don't know. I haven't talked to anybody there. But
before you go on to the next. You said there's an international group as well, and they choose which country they go to
each year? Yep.
Wow. That must be if you're traveling internationally to slot car race.
At that point, there's got to be some point where you're getting on the plane where you say, is this really a hobby anymore?
Oh, I thought you were going to say, did I pack my car?
Did I pack my car? Yeah. Oh, God. Could you imagine showing up without your car?
Well, I'm sure you could just stop off at any hobby shop and replace it, right?
Oh, you're speaking blasphemy after what we talked about here. So for the HO scale, there's the HO Professional Racing Association, and then there's also the United Federation of HO Racers Association.
Wow.
So those I'm not quite sure the relationship between these two. I think they do have similar rules. So there are a lot of people involved in this, and if there are any listeners who have a slot car set, they've just broken out. You know, they've just rescued it from the confines of a cardboard box in an attic or something, and they're wondering how far they can go with this. You can go out of the country with it.
You can go around the world.
You can go around the world.
That's right. Yeah, that sounds highly competitive, and I think it's pretty interesting, and it's kind of making me want to dig my set back out now.
You know what? I'll make a deal with you if you want. If you break it out, Maybe we can do a revisitation of this.
Oh, it's in Michigan.
Well, that just gives us something to look forward to.
It's about 800 miles away. It's going to be a difficult trip, but you know, it just feels right, Ben. It's kind of like, you know, the go-kart episode that got you fired up about getting a go-kart.
Oh, and, yeah.
Same idea. I'm wringing my hands right now. I'm actually pretty excited about it.
Yeah?
Yeah.
He really is wringing his hands. He's not just saying that. And I don't know. Are we good on this, you think?
Yeah.
We cover this? Yeah. Oh, okay. Yeah,
so that's all I know.
For our listeners there, we've drained Scott dry of slot car information for today. But if you're wringing your hands wanting to learn more about vehicles or anything automotive related, please give us a visit on the website. If you have a suggestion for a future topic, please feel free to send us an email at highspeedstuff@howstuffworks.com.
For more on this and thousands of other topics, visit HowStuffWorks.com. And be sure to check out the High Speed Stuff blog on the HowStuffWorks.com homepage.